Meet the Lord this morning. Need your prayers this morning. The Lord needs to open up His Word for us and talk to us this morning. I was reading my personal devotions this week, and scripture caught my mind, and then the Lord began to talk to me, and this message came out of it. We want to go to Psalms 146, verse 9. It says, "The Lord preserveth the strangers, He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked He turneth upside down." And I got to thinking about, He turneth it upside down? And I got to thinking of all the different people that I know that are not saved, that are out there and they're struggling with different things, and how upside down their lives are. And it says that God turns their life upside down. He does it. Now, why would God do that? Why would He do that? He's looking down upon mankind. They sinned and went away from God. He's trying to bring them back.
Yes.
If He lets wickedness proceed and lets wickedness continue, and there's never any consequences and there's never anything that God does, there's no places in your life that He turns upside down, how many of us would have turned to God? How many of us sitting right here would have turned to God if God hadn't touched our lives and basically turned it upside down, where we just couldn't do anything with it? We couldn't
Yes.
We couldn't survive it. It felt like that we couldn't make it. That's what God's doing. It's not that He's looking down upon you and He's saying, "You're so evil that I'm going to turn your life upside down and cause you all this trouble out of malice." He's not doing it out of malice. He's doing it out of love.
Amen.
He wants people to turn.
Yes.
He wants them to turn right.
Yes.
The problem is that people's lives in sin are already upside down. You know what I'm saying? They're already working against what God intended man to be.
Yes.
So they're already turned upside down. But when God gets in there and begins to turn it upside down, it's going to mean something.
Amen.
But we want to talk this morning about the contrasts between a life with the Lord and a life with the enemy.
Yes.
The things that are different. And I have, there are so many scriptures in the Bible
yes.
that I just had to feel inspired to bring some of the scriptures here. And you probably have scriptures in your mind that are going to work for you. But anyway, we're going to turn to Job, the 15th chapter. We're going to talk about the wicked a little bit. Job 15, 20 through 25. It says, "The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days." Now that doesn't sound good, does it? With pain. What kind of pain? Oh, it doesn't just mean physical pain. It means emotional pain.
Yes.
Spiritual pain. Pain in the mind. Pain in their families. Pain in their jobs. Pain, just pain. It says the wicked man, the one that is out there against God. It says, "And the number of his years is hidden to the oppressor." 21, "A dreadful sound is in his ears." Dreadful sound is in his ears. Oh, listen, the devil is such a cruel taskmaster. When we're out there living in sin and we're living in the wicked places, there's a dreadful sound in his ears. You know how God talks to us in our ears. And the enemy talks to us in our ears. And what is the enemy saying? What's the dreadful sound that's out there in his ears? All right? It's pretty dreadful when the devil keeps saying, you're not worth anything. You're worthless. You're this, you're that. You're not going to be successful. You might as well do this. You might as well do that. You don't have the breaks that everybody else has. You know, I mean, he just churns the wicked. But there's also other sounds in his ears. And those sounds come from God. And it's God saying, you need to get right. There's a day coming. There's the end of life. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? There's even dread in that voice for the wicked. He has no cheering things. He's looking for them all the time. And he settles for the dregs, little bitty dregs of cheeriness here and there. It says, in prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon him. In prosperity. Oh, we look out there and we have a song that says, when we see the wicked prospering year after year. Why is this happening? What is happening here? Oh, the enemy. Prosperity is a killer of spirituality. It is. It's a killer. Our country has been prosperous for many, 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 many years. We've gone through hard times. I'm not saying it's been continually, but we have been a rich country compared to many countries.
True.
And what has it done for us? We have gone further from God.
Yes.
We have embraced more evil things. We have, I mean, even in right now in our past elections, I heard one commentator, news person on the radio said that he was talking about all the different people that have won in Congress and this and that and the other. And he says, but who won big? Drugs. Drugs won big. Because there's so many states that legalized. And they didn't just legalize marijuana. They legalized meth and cocaine. You can have small amounts of it on you at all times. You will get in trouble. You see? Prosperity, you know. People don't want to be bothered with this anymore. You know. What they're trying to do, I think, I don't know, but it sounds to me like they're trying to keep people from going to jail because they have a little bit of drugs on them. Okay, that's what it sounds like. But do you think it's going to stay there? When you open the floodgates, what happens? When you get a little tiny leak in something, if you let the leak keep going, does it stay a little tiny leak? You might notice a little tiny leak around your faucet, and does it stay there? Just that little tiny place? If you don't take care of it, pretty soon it's bigger, and pretty soon it's bigger. Pretty soon you're having to put a towel around it, and then you're having to put a bucket under it, and it just gets bigger and bigger. He believed not that he shall return out of darkness, and he is waited for of the sword. Oh. He doesn't believe there's any way out. He doesn't believe there's any way out. Many times that's what happens to the wicked. They don't think there's any way out.
Right.
I don't see how this can change. You know, I'm still in the same position. And no matter what happens or this, that, I still have the same kind of a job. Or I don't have a job. Or I can't get a job. Or I, you know, whatever. They don't see any way out. And it says, and he waited for of the sword. Some people feel like the wicked feel like, I can't catch a break. I can't get a break. It seems like I turn here and this happens, and I turn there and that happens, and I can't get anywhere. He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at his hand. He sees all of these things. His life is upside down. It's turned upside down. he sees all these things. He doesn't have much hope. He doesn't see where it can change. He doesn't see where things can get better. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to the battle. For he stretcheth out his hand against God and strengtheneth himself against the Almighty. Now that's the important scripture right there. This is all here because he stretched out his hand against God. Many people out there say, I haven't done anything against God. I'm not against God. You know, I believe in God. I believe there's a God up there. But you ask him, are you living for him? Well, no. Is that against God or is that for God?
Yeah.
It's against him. And he strengthens himself against the Almighty. Oh, there's time, see, that God comes in, because God said he would come in and deal with every man. And then he would talk to his heart and he would convict him and say, now's the time to come. Now's the time to come and live for me. Now's the time. I'll help you. I'll secure you. I'll give you what you need. And he strengthens himself against the Almighty. See? He doesn't want to listen. He's afraid of what he's going to have to give up. Isn't that wonderful? How that God lets you know, yeah, you're going to have to give up some things. It's not a big surprise.
Right.
It's not a big surprise when people come to the Lord. What? I didn't know. No, it's not a big surprise. Everybody knows they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Amen.
And they're going to have to give it up.
Amen.
They're going to have to give it up. In Job the 20th chapter, 26 through 29, all darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. See, he's in darkness. He's got all these hidden things in his life. He's got all these places in his life where he knows these secret places. This is not good. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be getting involved in this. And yet I am. I shouldn't do this, but I do. He's there all the time. All these little secret places. Maybe other people don't necessarily see all of his struggle. But he knows his struggle. He knows his life is upside down. Other people may be patting him on the back and saying, wow, you're really doing good. You know, you're this or you're that. But inside, he knows he's upside down. A fire not blown shall consume him. In other words, there are things coming his way that are going to consume him. Things that are going to happen to him. Things that are going to devour and to eat up any good that he has in his life. There's something coming. It doesn't even have to be flown up. It says the good shall flow away in the day. No, wait a minute. Where am I? Thank you. A fire not blown. In other words, it doesn't even have to. It's not that somebody is intentionally trying to start it. It's not that they're trying to blow it, trying to make it consume you and trying to make it get bigger. That isn't what's happening. It's just where you are. And where you are is just going to consume you. It's going to get worse. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. It's not going to go well. People feel like, oh, I'm getting ahead. Oh, I'm getting ahead. And I got a raise. And I got this good job. And then something happens at work and the boss doesn't like you. Or the boss has his nephew that he wants to bring into the company. And all of a sudden, you're gone. All of a sudden, it's gone. It's going to go ill with you. It's going to go ill. The heavens shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. This is the wicked. This is what's going to happen. These are not things that are left to chance. These are things that are in your control. Because you are preserving your life. And you are preserving it out there in the sin in the world, in the wickedness in the world. Because of that, these things are coming. It's not because of everybody else. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of the wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. You see, God withholds some things from sinners. He does not give them everything that he gives those that serve him.
That's true.
They don't have the same. It's just like in our own houses. Father provides for his family. And he gives a little here and a little there and helps a little over there, out there with other family. But he gives his best to his own family. That's the same way our God is. He gives his best to his family. That doesn't mean he doesn't sprinkle some goodness out there. But what he's trying to do when he does that, he's trying to help you to see, come unto me.
Yes.
See, come unto me. You can have the better things in life.
Yes.
You can have what you're really looking for in life. And it's not money. It's not the best job, a high-paying job. It's not those things. It's the inner peace.
Yes.
It's the relief of the inner turmoil. This is the portion of the wicked man from God and the heritage appointed unto him by God. It's not something that your neighbor's doing to you. It's not something that your family's doing to you. It's not something that your job is doing to you. This is appointed unto man. That when you do not serve me, this, he's trying to let us know, this is what happens when you don't serve me. I have to back up, and I cannot pour out my blessings upon your life. I can't do it. You're not serving me. My blessings and promises are reserved for the righteous, not the wicked men. All right, so let's go to Psalms 5, 11 and 12. This is the righteous man. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them.
Amen.
Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Do you see it contrast all of a sudden? I mean, this, the other, it's all dire and darkness and it's not very pleasant to the ears. And you're thinking, well, how can this wicked man, how can he survive? How can he get ahead? How can he do anything? If God's already appointed unto him what he's allowed to have in this life. Because you see, many times people have things. But see, things aren't it. Things aren't what make life happy. Things. You can have your house full of things, and all you do is worry about somebody else taking your things. That's what you worry about. I mean, that man that had the great harvest in the Bible, what did he think about? He thought about getting bigger barns. You know, someplace to put all my goods, put all my stuff. Got to have something bigger. And isn't that what happens? People, as they out there in the world and as they get more money or whatever, they're moving up. Right? Moving up. Moving up to, you know, 3-bedroom house. And then I want a 5-bedroom house. And then you hear on the, well, this is a house, 13 bedrooms and 14 baths. And you're going, what? What is somebody going to do with all of that? And the people that are living there, it's like 4 people. 4 people. I mean, that would be a nightmare for a housewife to think about 14 bathrooms, because you know your children are not going to just leave all the bathrooms alone. They're going to go use every one. It would be a nightmare, but that's what people are looking for. They're looking for this bigger, more and more. But does it make them happy? No. They're still getting divorced. They're still filing bankruptcy. They're still unhappy. They're still fighting with parents. They're still fighting their children. Their children want to emancipate themselves from them. And that's the wicked. The wicked, they may have lots of stuff, but they don't have the inner peace. They don't have the leadership that they need. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Favor. Don't you want the favor of God? When you work on a job, wouldn't you like to have the favor of the boss? Like to have the favor of the one that's in charge? Like to have the favor of the one that decides who's going to get, if they're going to get a raise? The one, have the favor of the one that decides what shift you're going to work? Wouldn't you like to have their favor? The righteous have God's favor. And it's like a shield around them. It just literally completely encompasses around them because he so favors them. What a contrast. The other thing is full of hidden, secret, dark places and all the different things that are flowing out of their life. And here's God saying, I'm going to bless you and things are going to flow into your life. Psalms 37, 39, and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Oh, that's one thing that the wicked do not have is any help in time of trouble. You know, about the time you can do a lot of favors for people. And you can do a lot of things for other people. And you can see them in their distress and you can say, oh, I want to help them. But when it's your turn, you may not get anything. Nobody may come to your rescue. Nobody may give you anything. And how are you going to feel? But see, the righteous, they have strength in time of trouble. Whatever's coming against them, they have some inner strength.
Yes.
It comes from the inside, see?
Yes.
Strength doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. And they have the strength through all their times of trouble. What a wonderful thing.
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him.
Praise God.
What a contrast. What a contrast. God says what he's going to give to the wicked and what's been appointed for the wicked. He said what's been appointed for you. And then he says what's been appointed for the righteous. Is that a wonderful thing? God is so good. Oh, when we're out in sin, we are looking for ways to find happiness. We're looking for ways to get ahead. We're looking for ways to make some more money. We think if we just make a little more money, we'll be better. It'll be better. No, then you have to worry about the money. You know? Not only that, but if you have money, everybody's out there, got their hand out. Help me. I don't have very much. You can help me. This is the way it is. But God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you what is good for you. Some of the righteous have more riches, more money, monetary money, than other people. But you know what they don't have more of? They don't have more of God, and they don't have more of the joy within because he gives that all liberally to everyone. So they can be joyful even though they have less.
Yes, amen.
Where the wicked, they cannot be joyful with less. They have to fight for more and more and more and more, trying and reaching and trying to grasp a hold of what the righteous have even in their poverty. The righteous have that even in poverty.
Amen.
You remember Jesus came into the earth. He didn't come to a rich family. They came, there wasn't any place for him to get into the fanciest hotel in town and have a nice bed and all these things. No, he ended up in a stable, a barn, a place where they feed the animals, take them in at night so that they're not exposed to the elements and things like this. That's where he was. That's where he was. But the Lord, when he came into this world, he wanted to show us that it isn't about possessions. It isn't about getting ahead. It isn't about making money. It isn't about having the best job. It isn't about any of those things. It's about what is happening inside your heart. Amen. What is happening inside your mind. Oh, the wicked are tormented in their minds day and night, night and day. They're seeking, seeking, seeking all the time for better, better, better. But they can't seem to get it. They can't because it's not appointed for you. It's appointed for the righteous. They forget that this whole world is because God made it. Amen. And he put his children on it. And he wanted to have a relationship with them. Yeah. Father and children relationship. And the wicked are wayward children. They're not in Father's house. How can he help them? How can he bless them until they come back home and are in his house? He needs you to come back home and be there. That's what he's after. Let me see, where was I? Psalms 34. Psalms 34. We're going to read 15 through 19. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Aren't you glad that his eyes are upon you?
Amen.
And his ears are open unto their cry. So his ears are open, his eyes are on you, and his ears are open.
Yes, they are.
They are never turned away. But do you know there are some things that God has to turn away from in the wicked world? There are some things that he won't let his eyes look upon, that he turns away. There are things that he has to pass by. He would like to help them, but he knows he can't. He can't. Because they've chosen the way that they're taking, and they have to suffer the consequences of the way. You have to suffer the consequences of the choices and the ways in your life. So, if you want a better outcome, you have to make different choices. And people, the devil has done a good job about making people afraid to come to God.
Yes.
Making them afraid.
Yes, yes.
Oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and you're going to this, and you're going to do that, and everything. But he never tells you. He never tells you. See, the things that he's talking to you about are the things, those little trinkety things that he gives you to enjoy.
Uh-huh.
That's all he can talk about. Oh, you know, when you get this little bit of trinkety joy over here, and you know, you'll have to give that up, and you'll have to give that up. And he says, oh, it'll be such a miserable life, because what will you do? You're giving up all this stuff. What will you do? You know what he doesn't tell you? He doesn't tell you what God gives.
Oh, no.
He doesn't tell you the inner peace and how much it's worth.
Amen.
Because you've never felt it, you don't know what it is. But once you feel it, and once you have it, and there's a peace and a contentment that comes over you, to where I can be satisfied if I have little or much. I can be satisfied if things are going wrong or if they're going good. I can be satisfied even when I'm sick, because I know that God's looking down and taking care of me. But even when I'm sick, he's still looking down. His ears are still open unto my cries. He's still doing the same thing. There's no place that I can be in that he won't be right there with me, right beside me, helping me.
Amen.
So that's what the enemy does. He tells you all the stuff you're going to have to give up, because those are the little tiny places that you get a little bit of joy. And you think, wow, if those are gone, what do I have left? Because the rest of your life doesn't give you joy. It's just these little trinkety things. But God has something that's going to fill your life.
Yes.
It's going to fill up the void that's there. It's going to fill up, and you're going to find out that the trinkety things don't mean anything anymore.
Right.
They don't feel good. They don't provide anything.
Yes.
That there are other things. I've heard people say that, well, what do they do in heaven? Just sit around and sing all the time? And I was thinking, about that one day, and I was thinking how that, yes, they do. They sit around and they sing. I don't know what else they do, but I believe they sing.
I do too.
I believe they sing. I believe they sing with the angels. Won't that sound different?
Wow.
I believe that they sing. But do you know what? Sometimes, right here in service, we will have a song service that is especially enriching, and you get that uplifted feeling, and it feels so good.
Yes.
See, that's what the devil doesn't tell you.
Right.
He says, what are they going to do all day, sing? What he doesn't tell you is that singing is so blessed, and that it can do something for you, and that it's a wonderful, fulfilling experience.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. He's against those that do evil. The face, his face is against them. He doesn't even want to look at it. His face is against them. It's not that he's looking down and scowling, although I would not say that we might not picture him like that sometimes. It's not that he's looking down and very disappointed. Oh yes, he's disappointed. But is he full of malice? No.
No.
Is he full of all those works of the flesh? No. He's full of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So his mercy endureth forever. Even those that have gone so far as to do the most wicked things, his mercy is still there. It's still there. I've heard of people that in a courtroom, I have heard of this, people in a courtroom where the person that is being tried killed their child in horrible, and that those parents get up and say they forgive him.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, see, that's not even understandable in this world. Because, see, God has no malice. We have no malice. We know that it was the devil. See, that's what we know. We know it was the devil behind it what caused you to do that.
True.
We know that had you turned to God, you would have never done something like that. And you probably thought all your life you would never do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Until you did. Because the devil's a hard taskmaster. It says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth, delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Yes.
No matter what the troubles are, he delivers you out of them all.
Yes, sir.
Now how does he do that? Does he make the circumstance change? Sometimes he does. But is it all the time? No. But he delivers you from the feelings and the emotions and what all rises up in you because of the trouble.
Yes.
He makes that go away.
Yes.
And then people will say to you, how do you go through that? How can you go through that? I don't understand. If they treated me like that, I'd do so and so and this and that. You know, they tell you right where their wicked mind is, right where the devil's mind is. Get even, have revenge. That's all from the devil.
Yes, that's right.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A broken heart, a contrite spirit. That means a humbled heart. A humbled heart, where I finally say, you know what? I can't run my life. I'm not doing good at all.
Yes.
Though I may have a palace and I may have a lot of money, but inside, I am wretched. I am encased with trouble and anxiety and things all the time that I can't get away from.
Yes.
I'm in pain, spiritual and mental pain.
Yes.
All the time.
Thank you.
And then, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of some of them. No, he delivers them out of them all. One way or another, he will deliver you out of them all. Whether he gives you strength to endure, whether he gives you a mind, changes your mind about something, whether he does something down deep in your heart that causes love to flow out, where there was anguish before, where there was mental distress, he calms your mind and makes it peaceful. See, no matter what it is, no matter what the affliction is, many, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So let's put the wicked in there. Many are the afflictions of the wicked, but the Lord delivereth him out of none of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't deliver the wicked. He can't deliver the wicked. They're outside his house. The good things and the promises of God are for those in his house. He's a father to those that want to live in his house. He can't do things for you way out there in somebody else's house. Man. See, you're out there in the world, and you're in the devil's house.
Right.
He's the one giving you everything you have. Right. He's causing this to happen and that to happen and everything. And the devil is so cruel. He will lead people on. He will think they're getting ahead, and they're this, and they're that, and oh boy, I'm doing good, and everything. And then right when they're right at the top of their pinnacle of whatever success or whatever, and he just yanks the rug right out from under them. All of the things he was doing to prop it all up, prop it all up, prop it all up, he just causes those people to start changing their mind. I remember when my husband got saved, and he'd been working with these men, and he had been friends with these men on his job for quite a few years. And you know, they were buddies. You know, they were, you know, they kidded together and they did all these things together, but there was a change came. And I don't even know to this day what the change was, other than God orchestrated it. All of a sudden, those men were not friendly to him anymore. They started picking on him. They started talking about him behind his back. They started trying to get him in trouble at work. They started telling lies on him. It broke him. It broke him. See, all the things that were propping him up, that he was feeling so good about his life and so good about this and everything, and everybody thinks I'm a good guy, and all of a sudden there, all of it was knocked out. He had not a friend. Not a friend. But he got saved. He came home and was in such distress, and he told me about it, and we were having a meeting at the church at that time, and I said, there's a visiting minister, and I asked, do you want me to call this brother over? And he said yes. And he came over, and they went in the living room and were talking and everything, and pretty soon I heard him praying, and he came out of that living room saved. See, God allows the devil to do that, build him up, and then rip it out, because he's hoping that when that happens, they will turn to somebody that cares, because the devil doesn't care. He's hoping they'll turn to somebody that cares. All right, now we have a few scriptures in Proverbs, where each verse compares the righteous and the wicked. So Proverbs 10, 24 and 25. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. See, the very fear, the thing that people out there fear the most, whatever it is, it comes upon them. It comes upon them. There are people that fear, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I'm going to lose. All of a sudden, they lose their job. I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, and they lose that. You know, I'm afraid of my car, you know, my car that I just paid all this money for and everything. I'm so afraid of this or that or everything, and then it gets broken into and the radio out of it and all kinds of things happen. The things I fear the most, afraid that people are going to break in and steal my stuff and they're robbed. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon, and they're afraid to die. And death is going to come upon them.
Yeah.
See, it's going to come on. Whether they're afraid or not, it's coming. But then it contrasts. Here's the contrast. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Desire. Why? Because the righteous are not going to desire anything but what God wants them to have. That's why. They're not going to go out there and desire, oh, I want houses and lands and I want this and I want that. No, that's not what they're going to do. They're going to go out there and they're going to want things that are good. They have the mind of Christ is in them now. And so they know that they can't go after the same old things they used to go after out there in the world. Now they're going after the better things. Those desires are going to be granted. It says, as a whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation.
Yes, it is.
So a whirlwind. Oh, listen, sometimes there's whirlwinds that come into our life.
That's
a whirlwind. It just comes in. It can come in to the righteous too. We have the parable in the Bible. It talks about the two. One built his house on the rock and one built his house on the sand.
Yes.
The rains came on both of them.
Yes.
But the one on the sand is the one that fell down.
Yes.
But the one that was on the rock stood, the foundation. Who's the rock? Who's the foundation?
Jesus
Christ.
Yes.
When we build our life on that foundation, all these promises are ours.
Amen.
They're all ours.
Yes.
When we are not on the rock, when we have not built our life with God, none of these promises are ours.
Oh, Lord.
They're not ours. All right. Proverbs 11, verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. That's kind of what happened to Haman, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? We have scriptures that show that.
Right.
Where he was planning, he wanted to hang
Mordecai.
And, oh, he was upset with him. He didn't want him. He did this, that, and other, everything. And what happened? Oh, he built the gallows for him. And he built it bigger and stronger than the gallows had been built before. He was going to make a real example. But what happened?
He was
there instead. He was hanged on those gallows.
Yeah.
See, that's what happened. That's why people, they think they're getting away with something. Out there in sin. They think they're getting away with something. Well, I do this little thing, nobody will ever know. And I do that little thing, nobody will know. Or I cheat a little here. Or I do a little something there. Or I backbite somebody here and try to get myself in a better position with whatever. And then it all falls on your head.
Yes.
History is full of stories of people that tried to lay traps and snares for other people, and they fell in themselves. They were the ones that got tangled up in that thing. Proverbs 12 and 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. It's not going to be moved. But the wicked never get established. That's what it's saying. There's never a safety place for them. There's never a place where they can relax and say, okay, I have achieved, I have made, I'm set, like the man with the barns, I'm just going to get bigger barns, and then I'm set up for life. Doesn't happen that way. People think they trust in the stock market, and they trust in all these things, and the stock market crashes, and what did all those men do? All those wicked men, what did they do? They committed suicide. They jumped out of windows.
Yeah.
They'd lost everything, and they couldn't see any way that they could ever recover and be happy for the rest of their lives. And so they jumped from the frying pan into the fire.
Right.
Because now they're meeting God on the other side.
Right.
Lord, help us. Proverbs 13:21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Good shall be repaid. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Good is going to be repaid. You reap what you sow. That's what the scripture is saying here.
Yes.
You reap what you sow. If you're living an evil life, you are going to reap evil things.
True.
If you're living a righteous life, you are going to reap good, righteous things.
That's true. Thank the Lord.
Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Far from the wicked. Far. Oh, listen, there are wicked out there that are talking to God all the time.
True.
Oh, God, you know.
That's so true.
You know, help me to get this car. Oh, God, help me to get this, you know, this bigger house, or help me to get this better job, and, you know, and everything. And they're living wicked lives. And they think their prayers are going to be answered. God doesn't answer those kind of prayers. Now, if they're out there saying, God, I'm a bad person. Help me be a bad person. Do you know God's eyes go right over there and he looks right at him? He says, I can help you do that. I can help you with that. See, that personal inner prayer that you want to start praying to God and start saying, Lord, I really need your help. You know, I'm trying to make up my mind. I need you to convince me and help me to be able to make the right steps to come towards you.
Yes.
God hears those prayers.
Yes.
Because those are prayers of repentance and prayers towards God helping them. He hears all of those. But all those other kinds, he doesn't hear those.
That's right. Yeah.
He does not hear those. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Isn't that wonderful? Bold as a lion. That's why we single sisters can live by ourselves. That's why. Because God gives us boldness. He gives us, makes us bold as a lion. We have strength. See, he's right there with us. We have strength. But all of the fear that is out there with the wicked, you know, and the double locks on the doors and people resorting to having a loaded gun in the house to make sure somebody breaks in, I can take care of it, and all of these things. No, no, no. We don't need those things because we have God. He makes us bold as a lion. And he protects us with a shield, and he helps us with all these things, and his ear is open unto us. I remember a story of one of the saints, true story of one of the saints, and I don't know who it is, and I don't know where they lived or anything, but they lived by themselves, an older sister by herself. And one day she came in to her room, and when she knelt down, she saw feet under her bed. Did she jump up and scream and run out the door? No. She started praying for the man under her bed. And do you know that that man got up and he says, I'm going. Just let me out of here. And he left.
Wow.
See, bold as a lion.
Yeah.
Bold as a lion.
Yeah.
And that's how we fight the devil every day.
Yeah.
We're bold against him. He can't pull stuff on us. We will figure it out. The Lord will help us to see it,
yes,
discern it, and we will get free of it. But the wicked, they can't get free. He torments their minds day and night and day.
Yes.
all these different fears and troubles and problems, and he just keeps whispering to him, say, just keep going this way. It'll get better. It'll get better.
Right.
Just reach for this and reach for that. And go have a good time. Just forget it for a while. You know, drink and be merry.
Yes,
you know, and forget it for a little while. That's his answer. But God says, no, I can change it.
Yes,
see,
God.
I can change the things that seem to harm you into everlasting good.
Yes.
But he can't do that for the wicked. The things that seem to harm them are going to harm them. Because that's where they're living. So we have a lot of contrast between a life lived for God and a life lived out there in Satan's kingdom. We trust that we'll all be in a place where the Lord can bless us and help us.
Yes, amen.